welcome back to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And what do we have in store?
We got TFS 2010.
That's right.
We got illegal script clubs.
Illegal script clubs, that's right, but we don't talk about that.
Yes.
Actually, we do. We'll talk about that later. So, first up, Smooth Streaming was officially released now. So we've been talking about this for a long time. There's been limited support in terms of which CDNs actually support Smooth Streaming. But now, as of this last week, Smooth Streaming is becoming much more widely available. It's officially released now. Lots of CDNs like Limelight are supporting it, which happens to be Channel 9's CDN.
Yeah, so that's actually something the team is looking at, Duncan and Co., on whether we could actually do Smooth Streaming for Channel 9 videos.
That would be hot.
Yeah, exact.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Very funny. All right.
PEX .11 released. So a couple of enhancements to PEX, and for people that didn't know PEX, it's automated unit testing. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, if I am adding two numbers, it'll send hundreds of numbers in and actually check the limit, see how you handle integer overflows, et cetera, et cetera.
Automatic parameterization of your unit test, I think, would be a better way to describe it, because it basically like looks at all the different paths that you can feed data into your unit test to exercise different paths within your code, and it automatically comes up with that data for you. So automatic unit testing, of course, has been around for a long time.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so big new features is the exception of delegates as a parameter. Mm-hmm. So if this is important with, say, functions that are written generically to, say, have a funct of t, where I'm going to take a funct of t and there's going to be a Boolean test or something mm-hmm. like that. So now you can actually use those delegate types. Another big one is an IDE feature called exception trees. And what that allows you to do is, if I have exceptions, I can actually see a hierarchical view of, hey, here are the exceptions. There were argument exceptions here. There mm-hmm. were, you know, not valid exceptions.
Just help you better browse the results from your PEX test.
Exactly right. So cool stuff for the PEX team.
And I think they have the most modest versioning ever. Like, there's some awesome functionality, and they're only on 0.11 release.
So. Yeah. .11.
Nice. So new Deep Zoom Composer tech preview that unfortunately we don't know anything about, just came out, but if you're using Deep Zoom today, there's a new tech preview to go check out.
Yeah, and this is Silverlight Doom.
That's right.
So Silver Arcade is a new site that's
this
launched.
This is cool.
Yeah, actually Andy Bellalou, I hope I got a name, if you remember from Show Off fame.
That's right, yes.
Yes, linked to this. But what it is a free online community arcade for Silverlight games. So I guess they make money via advertising. They actually share it with people that publish games on the site.
That's cool.
So everything's free. You can rate games, play games, et cetera. It's sort of like a one-stop shop for Silverlight-based games.
Nice. That's great. Yeah. Good to see that kind of community stuff coming out.
Yeah.
So Zune Lyrics. So if you've ever been sitting down and playing a song and thinking that you know the lyrics and you actually don't, and you go online and you look for them, this application is actually a free application out on CodePlex. All the source code's available. Basically what it does is it can monitor what you're playing in Zune. It's designed for Zune, but you could hack it to work with iTunes if you wanted to, so that as you're playing the song, it just opens up all the lyrics off to the side and shows you what you're looking at.
Right, it takes the now playing in a site I didn't know about, Lyric Wiki, and goes to Lyric Wiki, pulls up the song based on that, and actually returns the result. So cool stuff.
So since it's a wiki, I wonder if I could edit it. Like, I'm sure you've been in those arguments before where you're like, no, it's actually this lyric, and then you go to prove it, and it's like something totally different than what you thought.
Do you have a good example?
I can't think of a good example right now, but... But yeah.
Actually, I do. That Muppet song, you know, that.
Phenomena.
I thought it was phenomena.
Oh.
But it's manamana.
Oh, that's changes everything.
Totally. I know. Blew my mind.
Nice. So now we can change it back to whatever you
want. Yeah, phenomenon. That's what it's going to be. Damn it.
Nice.
No transition here. There's no speaking of here.
Exactly.
maybe speaking of WPF, a guy, Robbie Ingebretson, who's really well known for building WPF applications, mm-hmm. XAML applications, he built KaXAML, did a workshop at MIX. And workshops were like half-day sessions.
Day before MIX.
Day before MIX.
Yep.
And typically these weren't put online, but...
due to popular demand.
Yes, due to popular demand, these were... Jaime Rodriguez got this online. So it's a three videos, design fundamentals for developers. Mm-hmm. I was actually there at this workshop because this is one of the workshops I really wanted to attend, mm-hmm. which is always a good sign when Microsofties are like filling the room. But and I was in the corner. but download the videos now, and it's available now. There's three parts of the video, so just so you know, the inline player only has part one, but you can download the other ones as well.
Okay. And what can you give us an example of what some of the things are he talked about?
Yeah, so first level stuff was really how the design process goes and the teams and the workflow. Mm-hmm. I didn't find that interesting. I think some of the other areas were thinking about space using a grid and actually applying a grid design to other sites so you can actually see that things are organized and the exact space is between three columns and there's this sort of order behind any sort of regular advertising, between posters, between UI design, that you probably aren't even realizing. So like he'll take apps like iTunes and actually build a grid with the lines and you can see how evenly spaced it is. Hmm. Same thing with Zune, where you have this sort of natural space between everything and it's like a very clean grid. Other things are like how you can use colors, how you can use motion, how you can use...
Right.
all these different design elements to bring users' attention. So what things can you use for a background to like draw your eyes to these things where right. a user needs input or something has changed.
So if you're a UI designer today, this is all stuff you already know, but for us developers who are very kludgy with our UIs, this can be kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely good to do. Anybody that's building UI mm-hmm. should watch this stuff. Any developers that are building UI.
Nice.
So
very good.
Yeah. My favorite workshop.
So if you're going to TechEd US, happening May 10th through 16th down in Los Angeles, I'll be there with Greg Duncan, actually, friend of the show. We're going to do an episode down there. Unfortunately, you can't make it, but going to have some fun down there. So if you're going to TechEd, you should sign up for this compatibility workshop where you can basically bring your application and work with experts like Yohai on making sure that your application is actually going to be compatible with Windows 7. So last week we talked about the logo certification toolkit
right.
that's available in alpha status, I believe, right now on the Kinect site. So this is just another set of the steps that you'll want to go through as you start looking at making sure that your application will work great with Windows 7.
Yeah, I think a couple things here. One, it's free. Two, it's private. So like if you have an application, whether it's an internal app or something that you can install, you can ensure there's privacy. And three, like you have the experts that are doing everything they can for app compatibility on the mm-hmm. web. So it's like the time to bring apps in. So
right. Speaking of, we actually have some guys in this building right now that are doing .NET Framework 4.0 app compatibility. So it's that time of the season.
Yeah. So Windows Live, a new announcement from that made onto Ars Technica was Windows Live has kind of been, I say this just primarily from analogy to explain it, but it's kind of been like a friend feed, kind of had the friend feed play, if you will, mm-hmm. where you're doing a lot of stuff online. How do you connect, one, your Windows Live ID, two, all the different activities that you're doing and sort of unify all these different activity streams. So whether it's Facebook, whether it's Flickr, whether it's dig.com, Windows Live is kind of becoming the hub, if you will, for all those social networking activities.
Right.
Now they just announced like 18 new providers, and Facebook's in there, but they don't have Facebook profile, but that's coming soon, and a lot of other announcements into the details of this.
Friendster?
No Friendster. Yes.
Call me when you support Friendster and Dogster. I need both of those.
They support Half Five, though.
Nice.
Very nice.
Brian Harry. Always talking about Team System. He just made a post about...
Foundation Server.
About Team Foundation Server 2010. So Team Foundation Server 2010, specifically the architectural changes. So this is something that that we've been talking about for a while, but we haven't really gone big on. There's a spec that's available. The area of functionality we're talking about is known as ETM, Enhanced Team Foundation Server Management. And it really makes up a few different architectural changes to Team Foundation Server. So one of the things that you can do is you can front-end your Team Foundation Server with multiple application tiers now. So if you really just need to scale to having multiple or lots and lots and lots of users. This can help you scale even beyond the thousands of users we already support with TFS, and so you can just network load balance that. That's also nice if you have an application tier node that goes offline or needs to be serviced and rebooted. And that's just one of the things. The other major area here is that today with Team Foundation Server 2005 and 2008, all of your team projects spam the same five databases within SQL Server.
Right.
And the problem with that is that you don't have isolation. Like if you wanted to backup and restore just a single team project, you couldn't do that. If I wanted to move a single team project from one Team Foundation server to another, we have a tool that can help you do a deep copy, but it's really not just a pick up and move kind of in isolation. And so with TFS 2010, with this new ETM model, first of all, we're introducing the notion of team project collections. A team project collection is a single database within Team Foundation Server's database tier, and it also can have one or more team projects within it. So if you put let's say three or four team projects within that team project collection, and you decide later that you want to move them to another server or back up and restore them on their own schedule, you can do that. So mm-hmm. you can just pick them up, move them to another server. One example where that's really useful is let's say you're doing a pilot project on your TFS server, and then one project just goes like gangbusters, and now you've got 1,000 people working on it. You might want to set up your own TFS server for that. Another example is let's say you're a consultant, and so you're building a project for a customer on your TFS server, and then eventually once you're done with the project, you want to hand them all the TFS artifacts. Well, now you can do that. You just persist that to a database, and they reinflate it on their TFS server. So Brian goes through and talks.
That stuff is great, though. Seriously.
Oh yeah, definitely.
In terms of packaging and everything else.
Yep. So Brian talks a little bit about that. He talks about the migration experience from moving from TFS 2008 to TFS 2010, and all this stuff is going to be available in the beta, which is coming out this quarter, actually.
This quarter.
Yep.
So that means we just ended a quarter.
Sometime by the marketing guys have said I have to say it's by the end of June, basically. So this quarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now there's a movement going on. It's not so underground if it's on a couple blogs, but it's called Script Club.
Nice.
It's a PowerShell Script Club, and first rule of PowerShell Script Club is you always talk about Script Club. The last rule, if this is your first time at Script Club, you have to script.
So this is a little bit scary. What happens? I show up for one of these script clubs?
Yeah, wouldn't it be hilarious if, somebody totally misinterprets this?
Yeah, I brought my Empire Strikes Back Part 2. Like, I'm ready.
Yeah, this guy's, ready to fight. It's like...
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you said script. He's got singles. Ready for the ladies.
Oh, man.
Script.
So what is this? So this actually happened.
This actually happened.
In Redmond.
So, yeah, there have been flyers internally for the internal Script Club, but now mm-hmm. we actually made this external, and this happened just earlier this week. So, and I guess what you're going to see is a movement of Script Clubs going around all over the
place.
Decentralized ownership of script clubs happening across the world.
So a little bit silly, but at the same time, if you want to jump into PowerShell and learn, and PowerShell is amazing. I've barely begun to scratch the surface of what it can do.
Yeah.
Then this is one way for you to engage in kind of a mini user group style fashion.
Yes.
So, nice.
And this is the font that they use, by the way.
That's awesome. So a few weeks ago, we talked about different diffing and merging tools that you can use within Visual Studio when you're doing diffs and merges against a Team Foundation server. Free one that was released, which I can't remember the name of it right now, but go back 2 weeks and I think you'll find that. Another article is a follow-up to that by Matthew Mitrick on the TFS team. This talks about how to configure TFS so that when you're comparing two files, and the only difference is differences in white spaces. So let's say that you go through and decide you want to put all of your curly braces on their own line and you're just doing your own final check-in, something like that. When you configure it using the ignore white space or ignore space flag, then it will basically ignore that when it's doing comparison, so both files would look the same. So just another nice little tweak that a lot of people may not know about.
Yeah, I love this because I really do, before I do that final check-in, mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh, wow, there's a bunch of space between here. I'll add my regions. I'll do all this stuff or
yep.
remove extra space, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. So nice article, Matt.
Yeah.
And by the way, Matt's article, he also links to another article which talks about how you actually wire up all those third-party diffing and merging tools, because you kind of have to know the command line parameters that you pass so that it knows exactly which order to pass the commands in. Which brings us to picks of the week. So my pick of the week is a release by a company called Notion Solutions. They're one of our biggest consultants for Team System. Lots of Team System this show. I love it. And they've done a few things here. You can read about it. They've got a video that's up. A couple of things that are worth mentioning. TFS 2010, as we all know, is getting support for hierarchical work items. So you can have parent-child relationships, for example.
Sure.
They've actually done some extensibility work so that you can enable that with TFS 2010. Today.
Right.
So given that TFS 2010 is still a ways off, if you want to take advantage of that, you can get their tools. They're not free tools, but they do provide a lot of value, and I think they're priced fairly. Another example is they have a backlog planning tool, so like an iteration planning tool. And one of the things that that we're doing in TFS 2010 is we're actually delivering Excel-bound workbooks that can help you do capacity planning. But what I like about their approach is that they don't just look at, you know, how much time does somebody have, but they also can use demographics about your team. So, for example, let's say that you're really good at doing, about a crafting
laundry
API. Yes, you're really good at laundry. That's great, Dan. But let's say that you're really good at API reviews in addition to laundry. When we're looking for someone that has that expertise, it can look for you and see if you have availability so that we can assign you to working on that iteration.
I don't know why you're assuming Notion tools can't be used in the home anyways. Okay, why that's can't true. I file a bug?
Not everybody and their wife have a TFS server at home that they use to file bugs to one another.
I'm just saying, that's dude, true. That demographics stuff is going to be great.
That is true, yeah.
Okay.
So that's my pick of the week.
Cool stuff. So mine is, my brain tweeted, but this is a research at a Wisconsin Technology News. It's one of those brain scanners where it actually goes and you think about where the letter goes. And I think it was a 23-character message that was tweeted just by thinking by brain power. So while I think a lot of people will be like, that's impressive, and we've talked about the emotive headset and mind control before, I am scared to death about what my mind is going to tweet when
you're sleeping.
Yeah, it's I have a booger to pick. You know, this is going to be terrible.
That's way too much information, yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, interesting application of Twitter, and nothing really new here, but nice combination of two existing technologies to highlight what is a very real solution for a lot of people that are looking to that maybe have communication disorders that are looking to interact more closely with the outside world.
I just can't wait till our brains start having a back channel. I hate my body too. I hate mine too.
And on that note, that's this week on Channel 9. We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Right.